four actions that I propose that legacy moms practice, and we're going to start our reading today in the Gospel of Luke chapter 1. I'm going to read a story that is probably very familiar to most of us, and let's see what Mary does that we can learn from in our conversation today. Legacy Moms is the title of my message. It's Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Picture the scene in your mind. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. And he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I'm a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For the word of God will never fail." Mary responded, "I'm the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. Now check out what Mary does. A few days later, verse 39, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. He was a priest, prophet. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. And at the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leaped within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, "God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said." Now go to verse 56 and we'll stop here. So Mary stayed with Elizabeth about 3 months and then went back to her own home. Now, most of you, I suspect, are familiar with this Bible story, which describes for us how God, our Creator, sent his son Jesus to earth. You know, friends, the Bible teaches us that God, our Creator, is holy and that we as humans are not. And so to help humanity sort of mend this broken relationship that exists between us and God because of our sin, God used Mary, this young teenage girl, to carry out his kingdom mission. And here in Luke chapter 1, the Bible describes for us that upon hearing the news of her upcoming or impending supernatural pregnancy, Mary takes a road trip to visit her cousin Elizabeth, who at the time was also pregnant. And in Mary's action of inviting Elizabeth into her sort of her pregnancy experience, Mary, the soon to be mother of Jesus, showcases the first action that all legacy moms practice. Write this down, point number one in your app notes. Legacy moms parent in community. Legacy moms parent in community. For those of you who are moms or grandmoms, some of you have been fortunate to have the positive influence, hopefully positive, of maybe instruction and experience of your mom or your grandmom. You know, you've been able to, as you've raised your own children, been able to lean on sort of their own instruction and experience, but not every mom has had that, have they? You know, I don't really know what Mary's childhood or motherhood experience was. We know that to be pregnant out of wedlock is never a good thing, and even more so in Mary's day. And it seems like Mary, the mother of Jesus, might not have had any support from her family. And so what does Mary do? Well, we're told here how she looks to her sort of her extended family, doesn't she, to help her navigate motherhood. You know, for those of you who are single moms who carry the responsibility of raising your child, maybe without the input or the support of your child's father, I want to encourage you not to shoulder that burden alone. Rather, lean on and ask for help from your community. You know, if God has given you a son, moms, to raise up, I implore you to lean upon the men in your world to help your boy grow up to be a man in this world, in a world that is trying to strip our boys of their God-given identity. Lean on the men at Palm Harvest. Look to the men to help your son grow up to be what God has wired and created him to be. For you single moms who maybe God has entrusted with a daughter to raise up in a world that is trying to strip our daughters of their God-given identity, I would implore you to reach out to those women in your world, maybe those women here at Palm Harvest who are a little bit farther along in their mothering. Legacy moms, parent, we see here in community. You know, if you were to read on in Luke chapter 2, you would read how there are some Bible verses. And in fact, we put them in your app notes, and so you can read them later if you'd like. But there are some scripture passages that really inform us and describe for us. They tell some stories of how Mary and Joseph, Jesus's earthly parents, they find support at their local synagogue, at their local place of gathering, reinforcing this truth that legacy moms parent in community. And so we're going to say several prayers together today. And so this first prayer we're going to say together, put everything down for a minute. I want us to pray. I'm going to call it kind of the expand our capacity prayer. Okay, so everybody put your things down, put your palms out in front of you, particularly those of you who are moms. And in this prayer, we're going to ask God to bring specific people into our life who can help us raise up our kids, okay? So take a deep breath, everybody. Inhale. Hold it. Exhale. Good. Now pray this in your heart. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for the children that you have put in my life. Please bring into my world God-loving individuals who can help me raise my son or daughter to know you and to achieve their God-given potential. Okay? We're not done yet. Now, for those of you here or watching online who might have an empty quiver, pray this. Say, thank you, God, for my church family. Thank you, God, for this church family. Please increase my capacity and my willingness to invest my time and resources into the children who are part of this church family. Deep breath in. Hold it. Exhale. Good. Point number two. Write this down. Legacy moms empower their child in community. Legacy moms empower their child in community. Now, in your Bibles, go to the Gospel of John. So it's one book over. So it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and go to chapter 2. John chapter 2. Now, here in John chapter 2, Jesus is now an adult. Okay? He's all grown up. Most scholars believe that Jesus' dad, Joseph, has died because Joseph is no longer mentioned in any of the scriptures. So by the time Jesus is, and he's the oldest in the family, he's got some brothers and, you know, younger siblings, Jesus is probably carrying sort of the responsibility, the mantle of taking care of Mary and his brothers and sisters. So Mary, we can assume, is a single mom. And here in John chapter 2, Jesus, what you need to understand is he has not yet launched his sort of into his earthly ministry, but that's about to change because Mary, Jesus's mom, pushes Jesus into action. And in so doing, Jesus performs his first public miracle, which was what? Do you remember? He turned water into wine. Okay? So John chapter 2, watch the interchange that we have here between Jesus and his mom. Okay? Verse 1. The next day, there was a wedding celebration in the village of Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the celebration. The wine supply ran out during the festivities, so Jesus' mother told him, "They have no more wine." "Dear woman, that's not our problem," Jesus replied. "My time has not yet come." But his mother told the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Standing nearby were six stone water jars used for Jewish ceremonial washing. Each could hold 20 to 30 gallons. And so Jesus told the servant, "Fill the jars with water." When the jars had been filled, he said, "Now dip some out and take it to the master of ceremonies." So the servants followed his instructions. When the master of ceremonies tasted the water that was now wine, not knowing where it had come from, though of course the servants knew, he called the bridegroom over. "A host always serves the best wine first," he said. "Then when everyone has had a lot to drink, he brings out the less expensive wine. But you have kept the best until now." This miraculous sign at Cana in Galilee was the first time Jesus revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. And after the wedding, he went to Capernaum for a few days with his mother, his brothers, and his disciples. What do we read here in John chapter 2? Well, sisters and brothers, what we are reading here is how legacy moms push their kids out of the nest, don't we? Legacy moms see the potential in their son or daughter, and then they encourage them to use that potential to help others. I love how Mary, Jesus' mom, asks Jesus to remedy this wine shortage situation. But notice that she doesn't ask him to work a miracle alone, does she? Rather, if you look at verse 5, you will read how Mary, what does she do? We're told how she brings with her some servants to assist Jesus. Mary, don't miss this, has arranged for Jesus to have some help. And what this simple gesture on Mary's part illustrates for us is how legacy moms empower their child in community. So, by the way, I'm going to be saying "in community" a lot. And every time I do, I want you to just, wherever you're at, I want you to do this, okay? In community. It's all of us together in community. You know, one of the rules of encouragement, and I've talked about this before, that I will try to personally practice in my own life, is that whenever I have something positive to say about someone, whenever I want to say thank you to someone for maybe something they have done or maybe in some way they have helped me, whenever I have an opportunity to praise them, I will almost always be very intentional about doing it in the presence of others, particularly if their boss is in the room. Because I have learned that when I praise someone or I give props to someone or I give credit to someone for something they have done to help me, and it's in the presence of others, and particularly if they have a boss in the room, it just feels stronger. Are you with me? You know, private encouragement is valuable, but public encouragement has sizzle. Now catch this, though. The same is true with our negative feedback. Moms, evaluate yourself. Do you empower your kids and do what you can to help them be successful? And do you for example, do you compete with your kids? How many moms? You know what I'm talking about? There are some moms that have a hard time seeing their kids get successful. There are some moms that want to compete with their kids and for their attention. Do you undermine your kids or do you pick them up? Do you encourage your child when in the presence of others, or do you discourage them when in the presence of others? Do you affirm your son or daughter publicly, or do you criticize your son or daughter publicly? Parents, how we talk to our children when in the presence of others has impact. And what I believe Mary showcases here is how legacy moms empower their child in community. So let's say another prayer together. We're going to call this a flourishing prayer, okay? So if you're a person who wants to see the people in your life flourish around you, then this is a good prayer for you to pray with me. So again, palms open, heart open, mind open. Let's take a deep breath together. Inhale, hold it. Now exhale. Now with open hands and open heart, pray this. Say, Heavenly Father, please increase my capacity to be a mom, to be a dad, to be a friend who helped the children in my world to flourish. God, please use me to help other people win in life, just as Mary did for her son, Jesus. Now pray this. Say, God, I want to be a person who pushes others ahead, not a person who's competing with them. Deep breath in. Exhale. Good. Point number three. A third action that I propose we can see Mary practice in her parenting as a mom with Jesus is that she was a mom who offered her son support. Point number three, legacy moms offer support in community. Legacy moms offer support in community. Now skip forward in the Gospel of John to chapter 19. John chapter 19. Now here's the context of what we're about to read here in John chapter 19. Jesus is now in the throes of being crucified. His body is nailed to a wooden cross. Jesus is about to complete his mission that he was sent to earth to accomplish. And I want you to notice what Jesus' mom Mary now is doing, okay? John chapter 19, go to verse 17. And again, try to picture the scene in your mind. John 19, verse 17, this is what we read. Carrying the cross by himself, talking about Jesus, he went to the place of the skull, in Hebrew, Golgotha. There they nailed him to the cross. Two others were crucified with him, one on either side, with Jesus between them. And Pilate, the governor, posted a sign on the cross that read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. And the sign was written in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek so that many people could read it. Now skip forward to verse 25. Standing near the cross, notice this, standing near the cross were Jesus' mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. So apparently Mary was a popular name back then. When Jesus saw his mother standing there beside this disciple he loved, he said to her, "Dear woman, here is your son." And he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from then on, this disciple took her into his home. Let's stop there. So where is Mary, according to the account here written by John, where is Mary standing as she watches her son be crucified? Verse 25 tells us she's standing where? She's standing near the cross. Now, is she standing alone? Yes or no? No. The Bible tells us that she's standing with who? Well, she's standing with I guess the Marys all were standing there. Mary, the wife of Clopas. Mary Magdalene, who was a woman who God had freed from what? Remember? Demonic possession. She had like seven demons in her that Jesus freed her with. And so apparently, there she is, and Mary's also standing with at least one other person whose name is what? We're not told, but we can assume it this. His name is what? It's John. Who is John? John was Jesus' closest friend. When you read the scriptures, he was the guy who was always in close proximity. Like at the Last Supper, it was John who was sitting next to Jesus. And the person, and if you still to this day, if you enjoy a Seder meal, it's the person who is closest to you who will be leaning there. It's the one who Peter said, "Who's going to betray him?" And Jesus turned to John and said, "Right, it's the one. This is the guy." So we can assume that John was Jesus' number one friend, his number one confidant. So here again, what can we learn from Mother Mary? I suggest that Mary is showing her love and support for her son in what? In community. Legacy Moms offer support in community, which is one of the purposes of the church. Yes, you know that? You know, we talk about this all the time, brothers and sisters, that the church is not a building. It's what? It's people. You're the church. I'm the church. We are the church. And so Mary models for us her parenting, even when our kids are adults, that it never ends, does it? You know, I often will say to my mom when she tries to correct me, "Mom, I'm 62 years old." Some of you are grandparents, and your mom, if she's living, is still trying to correct you. Am I right? She didn't care. Our moms don't care. Why? Because in her eyes, we're still her what? Her daughter, her baby, her boy, her little boy. Show of hands, how many of you have moms who like to tell you what to do? Okay, a few of us. Listen, here's the transferable concept from seeing Mother Mary at the foot of the cross with a group of her friends. Legacy moms offer their kids support in community. And so evaluate your own behavior. Sisters and brothers, who are you inviting to help you invest in your children? You know, more than that, who are you leaning on to help you shoulder the burden when your kids are struggling? Even if they're adults. You know, what emotions do you think Mary felt as she watched her son Jesus hang on the cross? You know, she certainly knew that Jesus was God's son, right? And yet still, is it safe for us to assume that she still had to be feeling something as he hung naked and bleeding on the cross? You know, show of hands, how many of you think maybe Mary felt anger? Anybody? Maybe angry at the system, maybe angry at Pilate for doing what he did, maybe angry at the Jewish religious elite, right, for betraying her boy, maybe even an anger at God. Like, couldn't you have chosen another way? Like, why such a brutal way, God? How many of you think that Mary felt grief in her heart? You know, no loving parent, even when we're at odds with our kids, no loving parent really wants to see or enjoys watching their child suffer. And perhaps as Jesus hung on the cross, I even wonder sometimes if Mary maybe didn't feel a deeper connection with her son. I mean, if anyone knew firsthand the feeling of being publicly criticized or maybe being the recipient of religious judgment, it would have been Mary, don't you think? Think about the burden that she had to carry being pregnant out of wedlock, being pregnant in a world that just really condemned that. Or I wonder if there's a possibility that Mary felt some hope in her heart. Hope from the truth that God's kingdom mission was now in motion, right? Hope that the hardships that she endured as a mom, that she herself, as she herself sort of lived out her own God-given kingdom mission, maybe to raise up God's son, was worth it all. Hope that her boy, all this pain and sacrifice that he was enduring and that she was enduring, had purpose. Moms, you know what you share in common with Mary don't you? One of the things moms share in common with the Mother Mary is that you have a front row seat into God's activity into your child's life. Think about that. So what's the transferable concept? Don't shoulder the responsibility of raising your son or daughter alone. Rather, follow the support of Jesus' earthly mom by offering your support for your son or your daughter, even if they're adults, in community. It's invite others into what I call the parenting road trip. Are you with me? So let's say another prayer together, okay? Palms open, heart open. Deep breath in, hold it. Exhale. Now, this is going to be a thank you prayer. I want you to think of the people in your life who God has used to support your son or daughter. Could have been when they were young. Maybe it's currently right now. Think of the individuals, maybe one time or maybe ongoing. Who are those individuals who God has used to be a support to your kids, okay? So I want you to just say, thank you, God, for, and then you fill in the blank. List out the names of people. Could have been a coach when they were in sixth grade. Could have been a neighbor who took time to teach them how to ride a bike. Could have been an uncle who maybe bought them some tires when they were in college. Who are those people who have invested in your son or daughters? Thank you, God, for. Now, I want you to identify in your mind those families in your world who you might invest your time and energy into. Think about those families in your world. Maybe even think about the families and the faces here at Palm Harvest who God might be inviting you to be a support to, okay? So pray this. So thank you, God. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for bringing into my life, and then you fill in the blank. Who are those families and children who are currently a part of your world right now? Now say, God, please help me to be a good supporter in their world. Deep breath in. Exhale. Good. One more point. So far, we've observed that Mary, Jesus' mom, we've observed how she parented, legacy moms parent in community. We've seen how legacy moms empower their children in community. We just talked about how legacy moms offer support in community. Even when our kids are going strong or having a tough time, she's offering support. And then the fourth action that I propose that legacy moms practice, and certainly something that Mother Mary models for us, is how legacy moms pray anticipatorily. It's a big word, in community. Legacy moms pray anticipatorily in community. So in your Bibles, go forward one more book to the book of Acts. I'm going to start reading here in chapter 1. Now let me give you the context before we read this. Jesus has died on the cross. He's risen from the dead. And for 40 days, the Bible describes for us how Jesus sort of has this last minute discipling, teaching with his disciples before he ascends into heaven with the promise, two promises. One, the Holy Spirit's going to come and he's going to help you. He's going to return to help you kind of carry forward this legacy mission that you're all on. And two, I'm coming back. And by the way, just as a side note, I think the title of my next sermon series, we're going to focus on the second coming of Jesus. And I think my working title right now is When Hell Breaks Loose. Okay. And so it's still in the workbench a little bit, but that's kind of where I'm. Anybody ever have a hell break loose in their life? You know, but the hope is Jesus is coming back. And so we're going to talk about that. What are the things about Jesus coming back? But that's for maybe even next week. We'll see. So Jesus has promised he's going to come back. He's ascended to heaven. And the early church now is waiting. And I want you to notice what Mary, Jesus's mom, is doing as they're waiting for the arrival of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Acts chapter 1, verse 14, last verse, this is what we read. It says they all met together and were constantly united in prayer, along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, several other women, and the brothers of Jesus. So we're told here that Mary is doing what? She's waiting. Mary is waiting, and then she is praying anticipatorily for the arrival of God's Holy Spirit. What Mary's doing is she is waiting for her son's legacy to kind of shift into the next chapter, if you will. And she's doing it in what? In community. So here's the transferable concept. Moms, you do know, don't you, that just because your son or daughter has left home and perhaps now living on their own, that you still have the responsibility to pray for them? You know, if your son or daughter is single, Laurel, if your sons are single, even for you, Sheila, you have the responsibility to pray for their future spouse. If your son or daughter has a family, are you praying for them as they begin to raise their own kids in their own life as a parent? Don't just offer your input with your words. Pray for them with your heart. If your son or daughter is working, are you asking God to use them at their workplace to help them flourish among their coworkers and clients? Are you asking God to be involved and engaged in your son or daughter's life? You know, sisters and brothers, I urge you to boldly ask God to help the children in your world to flourish. Legacy moms, legacy dads, legacy friends pray anticipatorily in community. Church, do you know the names of the children in our community? Do you know the names of my daughters? Do you know the names of Rob and Margaret's sons and daughter? Do you know the names of people? How about Norma and Jim? Do you know the names of Norma and Jim's kids and maybe even their grandkids? We met some of them at Jim's baptism a few weeks ago. Listen, no matter how old your kids are, no matter how young they might be, I want to suggest to you that legacy churches pray anticipatorily in community. Some of our kids are not walking with the Lord. Some of our kids are thriving in their relationship with the Lord. Do you know those stories? Are you praying anticipatorily for our children? David's going to join me up on the stage. We're going to go into our last final prayer, and we're going to pray together what I'm going to call a futuristic prayer, okay? So let's put ourselves in a posture of humility again. Kind of roll your shoulders back. Take a deep breath in, hold it. Get in a posture of just say, God, okay, let's go, God. Let's get after it. Palms out. Open. Take a deep breath together in. Inhale, exhale. Now ask God this. Say, Heavenly Father, please draw our children into a real and healthy relationship with you. so that the ripple effect of their life's activity makes a positive contribution on your kingdom agenda. God, I want you to work demonstratively in the life of my kids. I want you to pour out your favor and your blessing upon them. For those of you who maybe have a son or daughter who's not walking with the Lord right now, maybe that's the beauty of God. He gives us our own free choice. I just want you to pray that. Say, God, just poke them today. Just remind them that you love them and that you're involved in their life and want to be involved in their life. For those of you who have a son or daughter who maybe is working and maybe they're in a place where it's really going, would you just say, God, would you pour out your favor on them? Help their career to flourish. But help it be more about, less about making a lot of money and gaining a lot of influence. But Lord, use their personality, their unique personality, to positively touch the lives of the people in their world. Now, I want you to think of the children in our auditorium here. Open your eyes for a second. Just look maybe really to the center and they're on the sides and in the back. Make sure you look. Don't forget about the Vargas family sitting in the back. Would you turn around and I want to look at our kids and I want you to pick somebody right now, okay? Just in your mind, and there's Colin Hunter. You're still in the adult realm, but you're still kids, right? You're always kids. Okay, just close your eyes for a second. Now, I want you to say, Lord, would you pour out your heart and favor upon, and just picture in your mind our children, our young adults as they're setting out on their career. Say, God, would you help them to flourish? Help them to grow in their understanding of who you are in their life. This is my Mother's Day legacy prayer. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Okay, would you stand up? Let me offer you a final blessing. Sisters and brothers, I bless you today with an increased capacity to hold your tongue, to be liberal with your love, to be liberal with your encouragement, and use words if necessary. I bless you. People need to be encouraged in our world. People need hope. And in the name of God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I bless you with a measure to be encouragers. Amen and amen and amen.